living in the flesh, that all that does is lead to idolatry. It leads to sexual immorality, debauchery, drunkenness, all of those different things. This is the constant battle that is happening between us all the time. I remember my dad getting me out of jail. I got out of jail and I had an Altoid container buried in the backyard with pot in it. And when I went to bed that night, I went out in the backyard and I got high. You think I was sorry for what I'd done? Heck no, I wasn't. But the Lord had favor on me. And he gave me, and I ended up getting off on those charges on a diversion. You know, after all the things that I've done in my life, y'all, I can stand here in front of you and tell you that there is nothing on my record. And that is only because of the Lord, and only because the Lord knew the call that he had in my life. And to be able to go to the places that I go now, and to be able to travel to the places I travel, I couldn't have that stuff on my record, y'all. Listen to the grace. Listen to the blessings in my life that have happened. You know what grace stands for? Here's an acronym for it. God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. And his grace is on every single one of our lives. You guys, we're not guaranteed to walk out of this building today. There's no guarantees on life. But there is a promise that if you are faithful to the Lord, he will be faithful to you. I promise you that. I ended up getting kicked out of high school for getting arrested. They found out about it and had to finish off my senior year in an alternative program. Went and started working on my grandparents' farm. I had a young lady in my life at that time that was not my wife, that I was very unequally yoked with. And no matter how much I wanted to press into the Lord and I wanted to change my life, me still being unequally yoked with this young lady was pulling me down to where I wasn't giving up. I was still holding on to that old stuff. I wouldn't let go of the sex, y'all. I'm serious. I was still doing sin. There was still sin in my life. You know, I was still thinking, okay, God, I'll live right for you over here. But in this hand over here, I was still holding on to those things of the world that were destroying me. Revelation 3:15 says, do not be lukewarm, for I will spew you out of my mouth. That's pretty graphic right there. The Lord is sitting there saying, you need to either be hot or cold. I don't want you in the middle, y'all. I don't want you in the middle. Do not be lukewarm. And I was a lukewarm Christian at that time in my life. Anytime that you have to justify anything in your life, young people, it's probably wrong. It's probably wrong. And I was trying to self-justify things in my life. I treated that young lady horrible in my life. Horrible. I mentally abused her. I mean, I was a mess myself. I was a young kid. I was playing young kid games with her. And it was horrible, the things that I did. You guys, I'm married now to the most amazing woman in the world. She is as beautiful on the outside as she is on the inside. Beauty cannot be measured by outward appearance, y'all. I'm telling you that right now. My wife was injured in a totally different way than I was, and I'm going to let her stand up and speak to you about it. She has an amazing testimony to young women, and I'm going to let her get up and just talk to y'all for just a little bit, okay? Give her a big welcome, please.
How many women do I have in the audience? Quite a few. How many of you women out there struggle with appearance? Well, I'm here to tell you none of that matters. Prior to my accident, I was so consumed with image. I thought if I had the right hair, the perfect clothes, the amazing body, I'd be happy. And on January 28, 2000, I was burned in a chemistry explosion in high school. No longer was I this perfect image in the world's eyes. I was scarred, disfigured, burned over 45% of my body. And everything I thought that once made up my identity was gone. So what does the world tell you when life gets you hard and you're depressed and you're stressed? What do they tell you that's going to fill that? Drugs, sex, alcohol, food, the list goes on. Well, what was my drug of choice? Alcohol. I thought if I could drink myself silly, it would take away the pain and I wouldn't have to deal with reality. But there's only one problem. Every night I would drink, I'd wake up back to the same old thing. And I thought my answer would be of this world, but there's only one problem. My answer can't be of this world, it has to be in Christ. And let me read you one thing that I really love so much. It's in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one or despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. And I realized after going through a vicious cycle of constantly drinking and drinking, and one night I got in my car and I shouldn't have gotten in my car. And I drove home and I was extremely intoxicated. And I remember waking up and looking out my window and seeing the church. And I realized then I didn't want my answer to be of this world. I wanted my answer and my identity to be in Christ. So I realized I had to change things. And one thing that Brad always tells me, and he speaks about, you have to change your people, places, and things. So I walked away from everything that I thought was hindering my relationship with the Lord. I walked away from friends. I walked away from the guy I was dating at the time. And I walked away from everything that was holding me back. Because I realized I didn't want that old life anymore. What was it? It was fake. I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. And I knew that the more I go to the Lord, the more I'll be myself. And so I did, and I changed my life. And I'll tell you what, I'm more beautiful today looking in the mirror than I ever was prior.
The definition of insanity is this: doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. How many of y'all been insane in here before in your life? Me too. There's a lot of times that we'll keep on doing the same repetitive motion and something becomes routine in our lives. And we keep on thinking, well, if I do it different this time, it'll get better. If I'll do it this time, it'll get better. But no way. Until you get to that point in your life where you surrender and you say, God, let it be your will and not my will, you're still going to be insane. I guarantee that. I ended up leaving the farm one night to go get high. And I knew my grandparents were going to find out that I'd left. So I packed all my bags, wrote them a sob letter saying something. I can't even remember what it said. I'm sure my grandma probably still has it. And I left the farm that night. Took off, went and got drugs, drove around the country getting high, and ended up going to that girl's house that I was with at the time, staying the night there, and then going and getting my own apartment in Liberal, Kansas. You can't get a job if you can't pass a drug test, y'all. It's usually how it works. And almost anywhere that pays anything these days, they're going to give you a drug test if you go to try to work there. So I couldn't get a job because I couldn't pass the UAs, and so I started selling drugs and manufacturing meth on a constant basis, probably 2 to 3 times a week, y'all. I started hanging out with just a trashy crowd. I mean, I was hanging out with the wrong people. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. On January 7th, 2003, I just got off the phone with my father, and my father, who's just an amazing man of God, looks at my mom and says, Donna, we have to pray. And my mom says, Butch, what do we pray? What do we pray? We've prayed. And my dad prayed this prayer right here. And I want to tell you what the power of prayer truly has in it. The power of a godly man's prayers truly are. My dad prayed this prayer. God, whatever it takes in my son's life to bring him back to you, let it be done. Let it be done. I don't know exactly how much longer later it was, but they got a phone call saying that I'd been in a tragic accident. After I got off the phone with my dad, I had a knock on my door. It was a young lady that I'd grown up with. She told me that there was a party going on at her house. There were some guys there that wanted to buy some drugs. Asked if I had any. And I told her, yeah, I did. Went over to her house, sold some guys some dope, got high with them. They wanted more. He showed me the money. They asked me if I could get it. And I said, sure. And I asked the guy that owned the house, I said, hey, you want to go with me to go get it? He didn't know we were going to go make it, y'all. He thought we were going to go buy it somewhere. I didn't tell people that I made the drugs. They just always knew that I had it. And so as we go back to my apartment, we grab all the necessary materials to manufacture the drug. We drive out into a very secluded spot down in the middle of a big pasture down in the two-track road that leads out to a pump jack that you can't even see from anywhere on the road, out in the middle of southwest Kansas, 15 miles from town, from the nearest town at least. Probably at least 5 to 7 miles from the nearest farmhouse. Yeah, it might not have been that far, but it was quite a ways. We were out there. And as I'm getting ready to do the very, very final step of producing the drug, the young man that I was with lit a cigarette. I had an 8x10 glass Pyrex dish like you make casseroles or brownies or whatever in, with about 24 ounces of starting fluid ether in it. And as he lit that cigarette, the top of that pan just ignited. I remember looking over at him and saying, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And he jumped out of the passenger side of my vehicle. And I had this burning pan of fire, and I just tried to chunk it out of the door after him. Whenever I threw that pan, that ether incinerated. And it was a big fire. And slammed the door shut on my car. Did you ever do the experiment in school where you light a fire inside of a jar and you put an egg on top and it sucks the egg down inside the jar? It's a real cool experiment if you've never done it. But that's how much vacuum is actually and how much oxygen is sucked and consumed by fire. And there was enough that it slammed the door shut on my car, and I literally could not open up the door to my El Camino. I couldn't open the door. I was entombed. I was encased in fire. I remember sitting in there struggling, trying to open the door. And